Welcome back. Welcome in to the Lion's Share podcast. It is Walkthrough Wednesday, getting you ready for the NFL divisional round of the playoffs. The Lions will be taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This will be round two against the Bucs. Detroit's second playoff game at home against the Buccaneers. Shout out to the shareholders real quick who have been with us all year long. And shout out to the new ones as well. We appreciate you coming here each and every episode for this high level analysis. So boys, we're back at it again. Ford Field's going to be rocking. I'm sure you guys saw the numbers. Last game against the Rams, they hit 133.6 in the decibel reading. So this week, I'd like to get your thoughts on whether or not we break that this week. And if we do, got any wild guesses about how high Ford Field will reach?
Well, I just like that there's now a target, right? We got a really high bar to break, and once that one's broke, what was the NFL record again? And the Chiefs got it in Arrowhead, yeah. Yep. So once we get this one down, you know, that's knocking on the gates, and the next is breaking that NFL record. And with the indoor stadium and the way the crowd was, I think we got a real shot.
You gotta throw out a number.
Ooh, if we break it, oh man, I think they can get a 135.2.
Love how specific that is. I'm just gonna second what Andrew said.
Okay. I'll do you one better. I'll go 138.3. That's my guess. My guesstimate.
That was basement level analysis from Mitchell.
Oh boy, they're early and often today. Obviously we didn't know about this matchup last episode when we recorded. We were just ahead of the Bucks-Eagles game, so I'm sure you guys got to take in some of that game between the Bucks and the Eagles, which was pretty ugly, I might add. So did you guys find yourselves ever rooting for the Eagles in this one, just to have a little revenge against Matt Patricia, Darius Slay, DeAndre Swift? No?
I just want, at this point, I think it's a collapse similar to Josh McDaniels with the Broncos. That's the only even slight comparison. But even that, like, the wheels fell off a lot sooner. This is history. To start 10-1 and finish your season 1-7, I genuinely think if Sirianni doesn't get fired, they fire everyone below him. But I think he might get bounced. I think we're going to have two playoff teams with new head coaches next year.
Yeah, I think, like, what's worse than finishing the season, would you say 1-7? Like, what's worse than that is, like, the locker room just streams not even really divided, scattered. I would say scattered. Nobody's on the same page. So I think that's the bigger issue of all of it is the locker room aspect of it. Because if it's a coaching issue and it's a scheme issue, those are things that can be addressed. But when you have internal issues like that, that's a culture sweep.
Yeah, they had Ray Lewis on the Manning cast that was going on during, you know, the game. And Ray Lewis was saying he was just seeing a lot of individual play out there. Like, not guys playing as a team, just people, players going out there trying to play for themselves. And once he said that, it kind of opened my eyes up because it did look like that. And an historic fallout for sure. And I don't know what you do in this situation. Like, there's so much awry. The easy answer would be to just gut it, fire everybody, including Sirianni. But I don't know if that even fixes it. I mean, I think there's much more than meets the eye here with the Eagles. There's a lot going on.
Well, what's crazy is, yeah, what are you going to do? Fire the guy that's 1 year removed from a Super Bowl?
That's the thing. I mean, you can make a lot of arguments one way or the other. It is Philadelphia that we're talking about here, though. So if there's a short leash city, it's probably Philadelphia. That would be the place that it would happen. So I don't know. We'll see what transpires from that. There's already been a lot of openings in the NFL. Dennis Allen did not get fired, though, by the way. So the Saints head coach lives for at least one more year.
Not only didn't get fired, but the GM, like, strongly behind him, giving him high praises, talking about Hall of Fame coaches that had rough beginnings to their careers. So he's got a lot of praise in Dennis Allen. He sees something I think a lot of us don't see, though, especially after the Jameis Winston debacle to end the season. It's the same kind of conversation we're having with Tirioni here.
Yeah, I mean, he basically straight up wrote the dude a letter of recommendation. I mean, they fired their offensive coordinator, who's been there for a long time, I think through the Peyton regime. Since 2008, I want to say. Might be wrong there. Low-level analysis, but yeah. I mean, the Saints, I don't know. Dennis Allen? I don't know. I thought for sure that was going to be the last opening of all of them, but here we are. You guys feel like with the Lions coming into this one against the Bucks, shifting focus here, the media is very high on Detroit right now. A lot of people in their picks in the media taking the Lions handedly in this one against the Bucks, and we saw the reaction from the city of Detroit last week. It was almost like celebrating a Super Bowl. So do you guys feel like there's any concern for an overlook of the Buccaneers here from the team?
I think we talked about it a little bit on the last episode. I don't think so. I think they're enjoying the moment now, but ready to move on as well. I think they're still just so hungry and they're just feeding off the energy of the city. I don't think they'll get caught in an overlook.
Yeah, I'm right there with Mitch. You heard it from all the players after the game. We're just waiting to see who we got next. Heads down. I think nothing is in the clear for them until they hang another banner. You know, just going right back to Dan's speeches at the beginning of the season.
How about CD Deuce's comments that we had today about Baker Mayfield? How do you guys feel about that?
You gotta play better. You gotta play better if you're gonna keep running your mouth. There's a certain element to that and gamesmanship and getting in their heads. And I do think I think the best thing for Baker this year is that he's gotten a fresh start and there's really no pressure. There was no pressure on the Buccaneers to do anything this year. So maybe you get in his head, you force some bad decision, throws a couple picks. Great. But I don't know. Do a little more on the field.
Yeah, that's really all I can say. I know he's kind of been around all season, trying to get healthy and everything, and he had a lot of talk coming into the season. Mitchell, you bought into it. You got the blue face mask shirt, and I'm all for it too. I'm all for the attitude, but you have to back it up. You know, the team just can't back you up backing it up all the time. You have to bring it.
Shout out to the shareholder who brought this to my attention late this afternoon. Yeah, he just really wants to be that Rashid Wallace. This is not like a guaranteed moment for him, but it's kind of similar. And if the secondary just played better, you might feel better about this. Like, comment. Like, yeah, talk your talk. But where is it on paper? Where is it on the field? Right? I will say that CD Deuce, CJ, Gardner Johnson did play the beginning of his career with the New Orleans Saints. So, same division as the Buccaneers, so I know he's got the bad blood from his time in New Orleans, so I think that plays into it a little bit. The other thing is, he didn't play in the game earlier this season against the Bucs when the Lions met in week 6 with the Bucs. So it's not like he played in that game earlier and has, you know, that reference point of like, oh, we balled out, we held you guys to 6 points. Well, he wasn't even involved in that game, so... I like a little bit of the banter, the jawing at guys, but this just seemed unwarranted. Like, you know, I know a lot of the shareholder that brought it up to my attention was the last thing you want to do is give Baker more motivation, because that's when he's at his best, right? When he's like, he feels like he's being victimized and back against the wall, because he's bounced around on several teams. You know, he's spent a lot of time with the Browns, he was with the Rams last year, and now with the Buccaneers. So. Dude has been bouncing around, and he's trying to prove it here with the Buccaneers. Andrew, you look confused.
I thought I heard some weird noises coming from your apartment there. Wasn't sure what was going on.
Oh, the dog barking? I thought you were making that face at my comments about the Baker playing for the Browns. And I was like, yeah, he played for the Browns, dude. Like, are you going to question me on that? Okay. It was the dog. All right. I got you. It's these noise cancellation headphones. All right. Let's talk a little bit more in depth about this matchup against the Bucks. Obviously, this one's at 3 o'clock Eastern on Sunday on NBC. We'll have Tirico and Collinsworth once again. This game is the most expensive matchup of the weekend by far. $500 roughly right now. Obviously, tickets have floated around higher, lower, and sitting at about $500 for your lowest price tickets right now. That is by far the most expensive game of the weekend. The second highest, I believe, was $188. So this is almost triple the cost of admission of the other games. I think the Texans Ravens game you can still get in for under $100. So, business is booming in Detroit, and along with that, they're estimating about $20 million in economic boost to the city of Detroit because of this game at home. So thank you again to the Cowboys for losing that game and providing the Lions with yet another home playoff game and boosting the local economy. So we thank you for that. yes, this is the only dome matchup of the weekend. Every other game outdoors. This one isn't a dome, contrary to some reporters' beliefs. This game is indoors, so weather not going to be a factor in this one. Hilarious clip, though, if you want to look it up in the Bucks press conference with their head coach.
Yeah, sounds like you caught that, Ben. Andrew, did you see that?
Are you talking about the indoors yeah. question? Yeah, that was hilarious. Ridiculous.
I feel like Todd Bowles like didn't know what to do, and he kind of answered like kind of mean for a second. I was like, you know, it's indoors, right? But then he like legitimately went on and was like, I'm not really concerned. It'd only be 20 seconds off the bus to inside. So no additional prep. It's like, oh my God, that reporter had to feel so bad. Hope she's doing okay.
Yeah, it was so bad that old Thom Brenneman was even making fun of her.
Really? Are we talking about Thom Brenneman, like the play-by-play guy?
The deep fly ball in the left field. It's Castellanos hit the home run. Yes, that guy.
I didn't know he was still on the airwaves. Calling me surprised.
I think he's on a local radio. I think that's where he ended up because I've seen a couple videos online, clips. That's where he found himself, and he's even dragging.
He got sent down to the minors broadcast style. That's hilarious.
That's where we're headed. If we don't figure out this analysis we got going.
Yeah, we better figure it out. We thought Tommy was at threat. Well, sounds like everybody involved with this podcast is at threat. Speaking of which, let's talk about things that usually threaten the Lions, and that is the referees. We've got Bill Vinovich and his crew in this one. Usually a pretty solid crew for all intents and purposes. The last time the Lions had a Vinovich crew was week 2 of last season against the Commanders. They only threw one penalty against the Lions. For all intents and purposes?
Say it slowly.
For all intents and purposes?
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you weren't saying intensive purposes.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. You just kind of roll it together and everybody, you know, oh, that's an eye. Style. Yeah, exactly. We don't want to give the audience, the shareholders, any more ammo than they already need. So anyway, he only called one penalty against the Lions last time and 3 total. So hoping for a game where they let him play. And I know, Andrew, you talked about this on the last episode. You think that benefits the Lions when the refs let him play, right? That you know, physical play style will work for them.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Brian Branch coming off the edge is a hard hitter, and you've seen him at the bad end of it getting fines and penalties for just flat out hitting hard and playing good football. So, when they're allowed to play fast and free, it's basically like a dog off a leash.
You guys see that they asked Dan in his press conference today about the hit Kirby laid down and everybody's, you know, controversial opinion about it being dirty. Did you see his response?
I didn't catch it. I was hoping you were going to talk about when they asked him if they were keeping receipts.
No. Well, there's just too many quotes for Dan, you know?
That's true. He is a quote machine.
He had a longer answer than this, but basically to surmise it about the Kirby hit and just the hits of their defense in general, he said, yeah, we hit. It's like,
God, I love him.
Well said. Perfect. Last little note here about this game for the Lions. They will be in the all blue. The Blueberry Blues will be out in full force once again at home. And the Bucks are going to wear white. And I think it's still TBD on what they're going to wear for pants, whether they wear white or whatever, crimson or whatever color you want to call their
old pants, right?
They have like, they have a bunch. I mean, they have whatever red, and then they have black. Like, it's not a real black. It's like a slate. But yeah, they do have the whatever color you want to call that too. Last matchup against the Lions, they were wearing the creamsicles. Who could forget?
I'd love for them to do that.
I know, right? Just run it back the same style, but unfortunately, we won't have that. Speaking of last time, the Lions beat Tampa Bay, of course, in week 6, 20-6. It was on the road in Tampa Bay. Goff threw the ball 44 times in that one, his highest outing of the year, no doubt. And the Lions only had 40 yards rushing. Caveat to that was Gibbs was out with an injury in this one, and Montgomery left this game in the second quarter, and Craig Reynolds had to basically step in as emergency running back. Laid a big block for St. Brown, who could forget. And this was one of Detroit's better defensive showings, no doubt. Mike Evans had only 4 catches in this one, and he was targeted 10 times, so hopefully they can replicate that in this one. And the Bucks didn't even get a touchdown in the game last week or last time against the Bucks or the Lions. So the biggest thing that concerns me about this is the Buccaneers love that underdog role. Spoke about it earlier with Baker Mayfield and embracing that role. I think that's my biggest concern. What do you guys have for concerns about this team coming up from Tampa Bay?
More that they got a lot of confidence behind them right now. They're rocking and a rolling. I mean, you see that even the reporters can't phase Todd Bowles there. So they got everything going for them. They weren't supposed to beat the Eagles. The NFC South was supposed to be that terrible division that somebody had to win. And here they are advancing in the playoffs to the divisional round. So, yeah, you're right. They do have a big chip on their shoulder. So, I mean, you just can't take it lightly, right?
I think what I don't like is what we saw against the Eagles with receivers getting loose. The Lions are susceptible to let that happen. That scares me. It's not so much anything about like the aura of the team. It's just the actual execution and what is the weak spot of the Lions. And Mike Evans is a Hall of Fame receiver, and they've got some quickness on the edges too, and that frightens me.
Yeah, the Bucs have won 6 of 7. Who could forget? The Rams going into their matchup last week in the wild card against the Lions were also 6 of 7 coming into that one. So once again, the Lions have to face a hot, hot team. We'll say that the Bucs competition the last 7 games has not been the same competition that the Rams had. The Rams wins were a lot more impressive strength of schedule wise. The Bucs had to play a lot of NFC South teams, which Andrew just mentioned is, you know, arguably the worst division in football. So you take that with a grain of salt that they've won 6 of 7, but they have had some wins in there. You know, I don't know if you guys were watching the game against the Eagles at this point in the game, but Baker Mayfield was even squirting guys on the sidelines with his water bottle. So they're playing loose right now, and they're basically playing like, you know what, no one said we were going to be here. And that scares me about them is that they're playing loose like they got nothing to lose. And I think we'll see them go throw everything but the kitchen sink against the Lions. Did I say that right?
I think you're,
everything, yeah, but the kitchen sink.
You said it right.
Okay. Now, for some reason, when I played that back in my head, it sounded weird. Injuries. The Buccaneers had nobody on the injury report going into the game against the Eagles. They've got a couple on the injury report this week, but they're all minor. Shaq Barrett, the linebacker, Chris Godwin, Chase Edmonds, and Yaya Diaby. If I'm saying that name correctly. Diaby? Yaya. Also dealing with an injury. Yaya, the linebacker, has 7.5 sacks from the linebacking corps this year. So impressive from the young 24-year-old for Tampa Bay. Moving along to the Lions side of things, obviously Alex Anzalone got a little banged up against the Rams. He's still dealing with that shoulder, but did practice today in a limited capacity. trending in the right way for playing on Sunday. Sam Laporta, knee injury, still dealing with that, of course. He was a full participant today in practice. Looks good for Ole Laporta. James Houston, who could forget about James Houston? Well, you probably could forget about him because he's kind of gone off the radar here, but he is one day away from the window closing on his 21-day eval. He was a full participant in practice today, and he has been practicing for the last couple weeks, but he has just not been able to pull the trigger on suiting up for the game. So we'll know in the next 24 or so hours whether or not James Houston is going to get shut down in the backfill that position on the roster, or if he has to jump onto the active roster. So keep your eyes peeled on that one, because could use help in the pass rush always. Last one, Khalif Raymond did not practice today. Dan is a lot more positive in his press conference about Khalif, his status this week than he was last week. Reading between the lines, we might see him a game time decision, or at least a day or two before decision. So Friday, Saturday, we'll see what the status of Khalif Raymond is. All right, let's transition to everybody's favorite segment, which is the pose, the points of emphasis. Andrew, got you queued up here first and foremost, so why don't you give us your pose?
All right, we'll start with the broken record. Set the tone on offense, get the ball, and absolutely march down the field and score. How many plays was it last week, Ben? Not many, right? 12, I believe. 12-play scoring drive. It was very quick. Get down the field, put up 7 points. Don't settle for the field goal. Settle, take the points, Dan, but you know what I'm saying. And offensive line, you're going to see a lot of pressure. They know that Goff struggles under pressure. They know that he makes bad decisions. Offensive line, just got to pick up the blitz. That's the biggest thing. On the defensive side of the ball, you got to put pressure on Baker. That's the bottom line with him. It's similar to Goff. And I saw it against the Eagles. He was able to get mobile. There's got to be Anzalone chasing him down. Can't let him get massive first downs. St. Brown, I think this is his playoff game to shine and really solidify himself. He's got that chip on his shoulder for not being selected to the Pro Bowl, and I think he takes out the aggression.
Wow. Great, great analysis. Take that up your pipe and smoke it, someone. I'm going to go a little more simple. I think I need Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson to do the opposite of what we're doing. It's like we have the tale of two different coordinators and two different halves of football. AG,
yes,
can't stop a nosebleed in the first half, lock him down in the second half. Ben Johnson, come out fire in the first half, can't figure it out in the second half. Just put together a complete game, fellas. I get it. It's a little easier said than done, but you got to make the adjustments in game on the fly. And it's almost like Aaron's great at it, or AG's great at it, and Ben struggles with it. So would love to see a little bit of the opposite from both, or not the opposite, just full game from those guys.
Love it. Love everything I just heard from you. Some of your best work, some of your best analysis of the season. Playoff mode for Mitch. I've got to keep it simple. I've been harping on it this whole episode, man. They got to stay in, and they got to match the energy they came out with in the Rams game. Don't overlook Tampa Bay because you beat them once and you beat them handedly. And, you know, this is arguably one of the lesser teams in the playoffs. You can't look past them. It's the playoffs. They're here for a reason. Don't look past the Bucs. Last week against the Rams, obviously the aerial attack between Puka and Kupp and Higby and others, the argument can be made that Tampa Bay doesn't have quite the wide receiver core, even though they do have Godwin and Mike Evans. I think this is a no excuses game for the Lions. You got to come out and show us what you're all about. Like Mitch alluded to, put 4 quarters together, come out with the same energy that you had against the Rams. And I'd love to see a Craig Reynolds block like we did the last time. Don't know if old Craig will get involved in this game, but that's the kind of energy that you got to have in this one. And I think the fans will be a bigger impact this game than they were against the Rams. I think McVay and the Rams and Stafford alike were ready and intelligent about what they did in that game, minus the 2 timeouts. I think we'll have more pre-snap penalties than last week, this week in Ford Field. So there you go. There you have it. There's our pose. Let's move on to predictions. Lions are 6.5-point favorites in this one. Once again, the media and Vegas very high on the Lions here. Rightfully so, but just don't want to overlook Tampa Bay here. Hot off the win against the Eagles. Over-under sitting at 48.5. I've got a low-scoring one here. I've got the under by actually quite a bit here. I like the Lions here in this one. 21-13 over Tampa Baker.
Beautiful, beautiful. I got this one and a tight one as well. And some funky things are going to need to happen as well for St. Brown to get 2 touchdowns and have this final score. Got the Lions at 19 and the Buccaneers coming in just shy at 17.
Interesting. Surprising score from you, Andrew. I'm on the under as well, but a little less dramatic of an under. I've got Lions 28, Buccaneers 17. Just think this one favors the Lions. I'm hopeful they can get it done. Yeah, I think it's going to be a solid game, and hopefully come Sunday we're recording talking about how good we're feeling going into the week after.
Yeah, I think this is an opportunity for the defense to show what they got. I mean, you know, they've had a decent showing against the Cowboys, decent second half showing against the Rams. If they can replicate what they did in the second half all game, like Mitch alluded to here against the Buccaneers, I think you should be sitting pretty good and hopefully talking about an NFC championship appearance after this one against the Buccaneers.
It's Aiden Hutchinson's breakout season. Andrew met in this second season, and he met in the second half of the second half of his second season. So it's Aiden's time.
Now you're getting it.
Yeah.
All he had to do was cut the hair. The hair was getting too long for him. Now we got buzz cut Aiden, an animal out there now. And hopefully this week get a couple sacks where Stafford doesn't fall down, and hopefully Baker is actually sacked as versus Stafford falling down and Aiden getting credit for the sack like last week, which was, hey, a sack is a sack, but still. Last thing before we talk about the old NFL and the rest of what we've got in here. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I saw the response that Charles Barkley had to this. Much was made about the booing of Stafford last week, and we talked about it at great length in the last episode. But man, did you guys see what they did to Jerry Krause, who is now passed away?
It's disgusting.
So his wife was in attendance for him on behalf of him in the Chicago Bulls Ring of Honor, where they were honoring some of the great Bulls, and they booed the guy who's dead and right in front of his widowed wife, who was like visually and obviously upset. So at least we aren't at the level of Chicago. At least Detroit's not at that level. Because my God.
It's pretty bad. It was pretty bad. The whole night fell apart from what I saw. Like MJ was supposed to be there. Pippen was supposed to be there. Rodman was supposed to be there. Nobody showed up. Just poor Jerry Krause's spouse, who then essentially she got booed. So really good look for Chicago and Bulls fans.
Hey, I did see in that video somebody did give her a pat on the shoulder. So. Hopefully that helped.
Several pats. Pats for Patrick style. Yeah, I mean, poor her. Poor Mrs. Krause. That's sad. We talked about this already in the NFL segment here. We already kind of talked about this, but with the Eagles collapse. But if you guys had to rank, I mean, you don't have to go in-depth here, but if you had to rank it, what's worse, the Eagles collapse or the Cowboys collapse?
It's so close. I think it's the Eagles collapsed personally because the Cowboys, in my opinion, are a coach away. The Eagles need to smash the entire reset button. I think that they're in a similar situation, but I think you can replace McCarthy with a different coach, and they are in the exact same spot, probably winning a playoff game. I think the Eagles, you got to change. Not only who's running the team, but also a couple of the guys in the locker room. But the Eagles season was over 5 weeks ago. The Cowboys at least made it to this last weekend.
Yeah, that's the big difference for me, is that the Eagles have been like on this steady decline for a while. And they're, once again, a year removed from the Super Bowl. And they were just on a steady decline in that last month and a half, 2 months of the season. And I mean, just to not figure it out. Usually you go on like those 3-4 game slumps and then you figure it out, you snap out, you're back to a good team. And they just couldn't figure it out. The Cowboys is more just one bad game. I mean, a game where Dak probably needs to be investigated because I think he had money the other way.
Certainly felt like that. Certainly felt like the Eagles too in their game against the Bucs just didn't want it. Didn't want it at all. Didn't even want to be involved with the game. Didn't even want to show up to Tampa Bay. And it couldn't happen to a better, more cocky coach than Nick Sirianni. I don't feel bad for him one lick. I would take the Eagles as the bigger collapse. I've got it in the notes here. I want to present something to you guys. If they were to move on from Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, does it just feel like, or am I wrong? Does it feel like that's a place Ben Johnson could go?
I think he's a lock for the Commanders. I think that's where it somehow Bieniemy is going to get passed on again, which I just don't. Something's going on with Eric Bieniemy. They're going to write a 30 for 30 about that someday. But yeah, I think Ben Johnson is. I think the Commanders are heavily, heavily pursuing Ben Johnson and may just give him the $15 million a year he's looking for.
I don't know about the Commanders. I feel like he's a good fit for a lot of different teams right now. And this is, we haven't had this many head coaching openings in a while. A couple of them were already filled. But I don't know. I mean, they're talking about Bill Belichick to the Falcons. I think that's a good spot for him. The Chargers are another good spot for him. Hell, even the Raiders would work for him.
Yeah, Philly just... Because of Nick Sirianni was the Colts, right? I think the Colts offensive coordinator for 2 or 3 years. And so it feels like they like that young offensive coordinator, offensive minded. Maybe they wouldn't want to go back to back if they do fire Sirianni. I was just watching that game. I'm like looking at the history of Nick Sirianni. And I thought, man, it's kind of like the same path that Ben Johnson has taken as Sirianni. So that got me a little worried. And the Commanders too. Yeah, Mitch, you bring up a good point. That's definitely a destination that could fall in the hands of Ben Johnson as well. But yeah, Andrew, do you know off the top of your head, if say just hypothetically, if the Cowboys and the Eagles both fire their respective head coaches, how many head coach openings would he be at? Obviously, the Patriots is already filled, but are we pushing 10?
It's 9. Yeah.
Yeah, I think with Mayo filling one, that's 9.
That's got to be a record.
It's a lot.
Almost third of the coaches?
McCarthy's for sure done. Like, I would bet everything I have that McCarthy's gone. And he should be, honestly. That roster is so talented. You have 3 12-win seasons in a row just to get bounced in the playoffs. And this year, you didn't just get bounced. You got annihilated. Yeah, McCarthy's gone for sure. Sirianni's a little bit of a question mark, but... It's a lot. It feels like a crazy, crazy cycle. And the roles that are open are so all over the map. Like, you have Eagles roster, sorry, Ben, and a Cowboys roster that are stacked, ready to go. And then you've got other things, like Falcons need a quarterback. Chargers, there's a lot going on with the cap. Go ahead. Don't get
disorder. Sorry, breaking news 6 minutes ago. Mike McCarthy survives to remain Cowboys head coach, according to Adam Schefter. He's going to get a chance to run it back for one more season.
Okay, I lost everything I have. That sucks.
I mean, I assume that this is a real article that I'm reading from 6 minutes ago, but
I see it.
Oh, man. Wow. I thought you would have been right, though. I thought they were going to bounce him. I didn't see Jerry Jones giving him another chance.
I think the only thing that saved Sirianni here, too, is probably going to be that he lost his offensive. And did he lose his defensive as well? He lost both of them last year.
Right. So that's the excuse, is like, well, he had to start fresh.
Yeah. And they still made the playoffs. So I think like that's going to be his thing. The issue is that the city of Philadelphia is psychopaths, and they are not behind him.
Agreed. And the other thing I think that helps Sirianni is the fact that it's so late in the process. You might not want to fire him and then try to start your process and lose out on potential candidates unless you've got somebody you know for a fact internally, or you know somebody outside the organization that you know you can get, right? because it's got to happen soon. If you're going to fire Sirianni or McCarthy, you had to imagine it's going to happen in the next couple days. So, all right. You guys want to rank some rookies right now, folks? You can go vote for the Pepsi Rookie of the Year. Obviously, we've got two for the Lions. We've got Gibbs and Laporta. Go vote for our boys. It's going to be a hard battle against CJ Stroud and pretty much the rest of the field. Stroud's probably going to take this one handedly, but I thought we'd play a little fun game here. Since we have less games to pick, I thought we would pick our order of rookies this year between Stroud, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Bijan Robinson, Devon Achane, and Puka Nacua.
You want to lead us off, Ben?
Sure. I don't know who filled out the table for me, but I will go ahead and change it. I've got CJ Stroud 1.
Shocker. That's what we had, but go ahead. Keep going.
And then, well, you guys changed my order on me, so now I don't remember what
player. You want to go like Stroud, Gibbs, and we'll do it that way so people don't just have to listen to you ramble?
Yeah, just do no commentary. Just say your number.
Okay, so we're on Stroud 1.
Oon.
Jahmyr.
Oh.
Thank you. Jahmyr Gibbs.
4. 5.
Five.
Laporta, I've got 3.
I got him at 2.
I've got 3 as well.
Ben's 3. Bijan, I got 6.
6. Strictly because 4. Of Arthur Smith.
No commentary. Devon Achane, I've got it 5.
6. Setting him in the 4th slot.
And Pukachu, I've got it 2.
2.
3.
3.
Ben, I'd love to hear your... I don't think we have to go in depth. I'm interested more in Bijan and Achane. Bijan to me was so hyped up as like the next prodigal son running back, and he had a good year, but he didn't have a great year. Achane I had at 5 simply because of the longevity. Like he just wasn't healthy enough, but I looked it up. Do you guys care to take a guess at Achane's yards per carry this year?
Bet you it's like 12.4.
I think he's okay. Up there right with Monty and Jahmyr Gibbs. So I would say, I'm going to say 4.3.
7.8 yards per carry.
Well, that can't be right.
How many games did he play?
Here's the thing, only 103 attempts, but he had 800 yards. That's insane. So if he stays healthy, I think it's something to be said, but... Bijan had the lowest. I think Gibbs was like 5.3 or something, somewhere in there, and Bijan was 4.2. So they all had good years. 12, I think, is what you said.
A lot of good rookies.
Lots of good rookies.
Well, I mean, 12 is like kind of a joke. I was almost thinking he had a lot more massive runs with very few attempts, so I was thinking he was going to get some skewed numbers. Plus, I knew he was hurt for quite a few games in there, so I thought it was just going to be like massively skewed for him.
Sure.
Do you have his yards against the Broncos? How many of those yards and touchdowns did he get against the Broncos?
I don't think we should count one game against him. That's not his fault.
Well, 70 points put up by the Dolphins there.
Let me see. I mean, 203.
Of 25% of his total yards for the year,
yeah,
in one game.
But still, he doesn't have, again, that's not, you know, he just didn't get a ton of looks, like 107 yard game, 151, 101. Yeah. He's also sharing the backfield with Raheem Mostert, who had a 1,000 yard season.
Very true. Very true. Isn't it just kind of fascinating, the NFL, though? Like, think back. I don't know what week they played the Broncos, but they hung 70 on the Broncos and everybody was so high on the Dolphins, and now they are eliminated from the playoffs and the Broncos actually got better after that game. It's hard to believe that.
Yeah, crazy.
All right, divisional round. We've got Super Bowl teams that are still alive. I've got the 49ers still alive, although I had them losing in the Super Bowl, so that downgrades me. But Mitch, you still got the Chiefs alive in the NFL playoffs and your Super Bowl pick there. So Andrew, Andrew's have been eliminated before the playoffs start.
Let me ask you, Andrew, do you know which teams you picked?
Where are my teams?
That's a great question.
Goodness. Did I pick? I know I picked the Giants. To fall backwards into one. Who are they playing now? Did I take the Chargers?
No, buddy, you hated the Chargers.
Well, I'm just making
sure. You got a vendetta.
I'm off the wall with the picks. Did I take the
Still wrong.
Okay. Then I'm out of guesses.
Cincinnati Bengals. Which was mine, too. I had the Bengals 49ers. Which...
Good pick. Honestly, if Burrow doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the Giants pick, that's for sure.
Hey, they kind of looked a little better as the year went on. Who's to say?
Dev couldn't get it done.
Mitch, kick us off with the first matchup of the weekend on Saturday.
Texans at Ravens for 30 on ESPN or ABC, thanks to the mothership that is Disney. Ravens favored by 9.5, over under 43.5 points, 25 degrees, 20 to 25 mile an hour winds. Ravens beat the Texans week one, 25-9. That was a closer game than I think you see on the scoreboard. Still a good game. And it was kind of like, oh, like people didn't think the Texans were good and the Ravens didn't blow them out. Now we kind of know why. That said, I still like the Ravens. I expect a lot of points in this. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring. I think Lamar is going to have a big game on the ground. I also think a little bit of the rust factor. Lamar probably fumbles the ball in the first half. But I still think the Ravens get it done.
Wind does not concern you at all in this game with little gusty winds in this one. You think that still equals points?
Yeah, I already said it, so let's lock it in.
I said I wasn't going to pick all the same teams as you guys, but I'm also going to take the Ravens in this one. CJ Stroud, undeniably our rookie of the year there. He's had a great season. It's just going to come to an end. His best plays come from when he rolls to his left or right and he heaves one downfield and somebody runs underneath it and runs for a bunch more. With those wins, he's not going to be able to do that. And I think Lamar on the ground will just be top tier over him. Now swinging gate, if we have diarrhea, I'm taking the Texans. So I just want that to be duly noted.
All right. Well, I think he's safe in Baltimore there. You know, I'm sure he's sticking to his routine, sticking to that normal diet. I think we'll be okay. So I'm going to take the Ravens in this one. But the Texans are building something, and they're going to be back. They will be a playoff team for the foreseeable future. And the Ravens are going to show them who's big brother, though, for the AFC for now. But I think this will be a good matchup for years to come between two young-ish quarterbacks. I think this one will be exciting. I think you'll see you'll see a Texans team hungry and willing to do whatever it takes to stay alive in this one. So I think we'll see quite the fight in the first half and some separation as the second half goes on. Ravens.
Okay, takes us to the Pack heading into San Fran, taking on the 49ers. This is another rest versus rust debate. 58 degrees, light rain. Ooh, this is your night game, though. Forgot about that part. Sorry, Ben. Apologies. I know how big of a stickler you are for those things. 10-mile-an-hour win. I got the Pack. 49ers, I'm going to go with the rusty debate on this one. And spoiler alert, I called the injury to the line early in the season. The witchcraft is going to strike again. They're going to have another injury early on in this game, and the Pack will go on to take advantage.
Oh, yeah, it's me. I changed the order in the document. It used to always go, I would always follow Mitch. But anyway, all right. I've got the 49ers in this one. At one point, this was a minus 10 spread. Now it's at 9.5, so it's gone a little bit down. And actually, earlier today, I think it went all the way down to 8.5 or 9. I think that's bold. think you could see the Packers cover that spread. But similar to the Texans-Ravens game, I think this is going to be electric early, quite the battle in the first half, and then separation provides a win here for the 49ers. I think the Packers are riding too high. The media and Andrew too high on the Packers right now. I think they regress here after their big win against the Cowboys, and it's a 49ers victory.
I'm with Ben. I got 49ers. I think it's going to be close in the first quarter as the 49ers shake off some of the rust that Andrew alluded to, but I think the doors get blown off after the first quarter, and you know, 49ers just have a way more talented roster. Started to say it last week. I think Chase Young and Bosa are just going to tee off on Jordan Love. I don't think the Packers have the offensive line to keep those two at bay. I think it's really going to mess up the Packers' offensive game plan.
All right. And then, of course, it's the Lions taking on the Buccaneers. And then following that in the night, I guess it's a night game, 6:30 Eastern.
I love
on CBS,
it.
We've got the
6:30 Sunday game. It's about time the East Coast got some love.
This is the perfect schedule. Lions at 3 o'clock or any other game at 3 o'clock. And then this one at 6:30. Like, that's just perfect. Agreed. Thanks for cutting me off, but I've got the Chiefs. And this one, oh, I didn't say the teams. It's the Chiefs and the Bills at Buffalo in Orchard Park, New York, 6:30 CBS. Bills favored by 2.5 here with the over-under sitting at 45.5, 20 degrees in this one, 14-mile-an-hour wind. So wind could be a little bit of a factor, but not super windy. And a few snowflakes may fall during this one. I've got the Chiefs in this one. I'm going to take the upset. And I think the Bills will lose once again to the Chiefs. And it's just yet another heartbreak for that city. So sorry.
A little note here that Ben didn't add in, even though he wrote it down. Bills beat the Chiefs in week 13, 20-17. That is when Tony lined up offsides on the Kelce lateral. That is also why the Bills are at home, which is a little crazy, little karma. But I think the Bills figure it out. I think they got to shake the juju off of the Chiefs bugaboo eventually. I think this is the year. I think in my mind, I think a Bills-Ravens AFC championship is super fun. And I don't know what I wrote down earlier, but it's Bills.
That's the baby brain right there.
Time to break the bench, the Chiefs. So, yep.
That was a great note. I can't believe Ben didn't say it. Mitchell, thank you. That's actually massive, the reason why they are in Buffalo this week. I am going to take the Bills. Hey, guys, take it easy. I'm trying to read my notes. I am going to take the Bills as well with Mitchell. I think this is finally the end of the Chiefs' run. We saw Jason Kelce get booted from the playoffs. I think it's time for the brother Travis Kelce to take his exit here. They've got their podcast. I think Travis walks away from the game with his brother Jason here at the end of the season. And they go off and do some things off field together to make some money.
A little more investment in the podcast that is the New Heights podcast, huh? I bet you they got some high level analysis on there.
Yeah, we're just not as famous as them. You know what I mean? Like, they do have some good analysis, but we're not as famous. I did feel bad for Jason this week. He kind of said he hasn't announced anything officially, and you know, he's upset that it got leaked. And then there was a moment where on the podcast he said he had people coming up to him after the game and like, "Oh, we feel sorry for you." I believe his direct quote was like, "Don't feel sorry for me, motherfucker. Like, I've had a great ride," or something like that. And then he just like can't talk because he gets so choked up and like starts to cry again. So just an all-timer. It'll be great when he goes into the Hall of Fame. He's one of those guys that like everybody likes for good reason.
Yeah, what can you say about Jason Kelce? There's nothing bad you can say about the guy.
Let me say it again. I just said it.
I was just, you know, echoing your comment. It does feel like in this Bills-Chiefs game, though, like this is the time for the Bills to do it. Like, if there was ever a time, it's right now.
Circle the wagons.
Whoa. You guys want to do that on, like, God damn it. Andrew, what happened to the star readings?
No, I don't even know. Forget the star readings. What happened to your shirt, dude? what is going on with your shirt? The neck of Andrew's shirt has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger as the episode has gone on. It's basically like a nipple shirt at this point.
I got bacon neck. You got that's bacon
not,
collar.
That's not a bacon. That's a whole ass pig.
That's a bacon collar right there. it's just an undershirt, you know, and I'm just relaxing. I still got pants on. You're lucky. This is a nipples up podcast only, though.
God, I wish Tommy would do his job and we could have the video segments, because this would be prime content right here. This would probably have to be on the Patreon, actually. This is probably not safe for YouTube. All right, I guess we're not doing star ratings anymore. We'll be back on Sunday after the Lions game. You guys want to talk shop real quick? Like, do we want to record right after the Lions game before the Chiefs-Bills game? Or do we want to wait until after the Chiefs-Bills game? Or is that too late for us?
I say we like... I was going to say the tail end of the Chiefs-Bills game, we jump on.
Ooh. I don't know if I can commit to that, but we might have to talk about this some more.
We'll talk about this offline. We'll circle back. We'll circle the wagons and we'll circle back on this conversation. Just wanted to give the shareholders a little update. But hey, boys, and specifically Andrew, Mitch, you know, you came on for season two and half of season, or like the latter half of season one. But folks, we've officially hit episode number 100 in this podcast's lifetime. Incredible. Incredible ride. And I didn't prepare a speech, but it's good to be here in front of you all. And click follow. Rate us 5 stars because some doofus tried to wreck our ratings. So we need the 5-star ratings as bad as we could ever have them right now. So please go rate us 5 stars. It would mean the world to us. Our Uber rating took a little hit this week.
Can I say one more thing before we jump off? I want this guy to come on. I want this guy to come on because the low level analysis I'm okay with. Horrible takes. Buddy, come on here and let's argue takes. I love it. I love it. I want to know what our horrible takes are. You squid.
100%. I agree. I think he should join us. His name shall not be mentioned. I will say this. He said this was he was never going to listen to us again. So you guys think he's going to pop this episode on the Now Playing?
I hope he does. Coward. Limp biscuit.
You won't do it.
If he throws it on and makes it to the end of the episode, oh man, I will send him he seems like a Starbucks guy. I'll send him a Starbucks gift card. If he makes it through there, buddy, throw out another comment. I will send you some Starbucks.
Let's go Lions against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Meow. Is this the first time you've called it the Meowtro?
No, that's every time, bud.
Oh, I always see meow. I guess I've never noticed the tro.
Yeah, the Meowtro.
Clever.